It's time for our weekly American Catholic History lesson, as we are joined once again by our teachers, Tom and Noelle Crow. They continue to share hidden gems and compelling stories of Catholic Americans who've contributed to our nation by virtue of their faith. And it's football season, so we are kicking off the month of September with the one, the only, Vince Lombardi. Good morning, you two. Welcome back to the Morning Blend.
Good morning.
Not only is it football season, but Vince Lombardi actually died on September 3rd, 1970, 55 years ago.
Today.
So we thought it would be a really good day to talk about Vince Lombardi, his history and his faith, and how his football and his faith really were intertwined. You couldn't really separate them.
Yeah. A lot of people they've heard of the Lombardi Trophy, but you know, a lot of those people might not know that it's named after Vince Lombardi, who was longtime coach of the Green Bay Packers, and his Packers won the first two Super Bowls. They weren't called Super Bowl then.
Well, he won three championships prior to that, before what we now call the first and second Super Bowl. So actually, in the span of 7 years, he won five championships with the Green Bay Packers.
Mm-hmm.
So widely considered the best coach of all time.
Yes.
Vince Lombardi was born on June 11th, 1913. His parents were both immigrants from Italy.
Catholic family.
His father was a butcher and a daily mass goer. His mother's favorite picture of Lombardi was a picture of him receiving his confirmation. So the faith was a very important part of their life growing up. He was the oldest of five children. When he was 12, he thought maybe he had a calling to the priesthood. So when he was 15, finished the eighth grade, he actually entered kind of a
seminary high school.
Seminary high school.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He was there for a few years and then left, deciding, no, the priest was not for me.
So 4 years later, at 19, he left, entered high school. I mean, they did things a little differently in those days in terms of ages. It was kind of a prep school. And he was actually, you know, he wasn't very tall.
5'8".
Not what you think of as the build of a football player, but he did play sports. He did play football. He did play some basketball a little bit, and ended up getting a football scholarship to Fordham.
He was a member of this offensive line called the Blocks of Granite. He was by far the smallest of them, but it was a very effective line. And what he lacked in size, he made up for in grit and just basically he was the original Rudy. But offense instead of defense. What he lacked in size, he made up for in grit and just really playing his heart out. And that was a hallmark of his coaching career as well. Mm-hmm. He had a knack, once he became a coach, of identifying where a player would play best, even if it wasn't where they had been playing or where they wanted to play. You would be really good in this position. And he was very good at getting that sort of a thing right.
So, you know, he graduated Fordham and he wasn't really sure what he wanted to do. He had discovered, working with his father, that he did not like being a butcher. And he had tried to be an insurance salesman, do a couple of other things.
What about law school?
Went to law school for a semester. You know, his father supported him with that. But then, like, there's no evidence that he was failing, but he just decided his grades weren't going to be good enough. And so he quit that. And so he really wasn't sure what he was going to do. And one of his teammates from his Fordham days and his Fordham team, football team, was the head coach at this Catholic high school in New Jersey called St. Cecilia. And so he was hired at St. Cecilia to be the assistant and also to teach. And so he taught physics, he taught Latin, and he also was the assistant coach for the football team, as well as he was the actual head coach for the basketball team. And he also coached the girls' basketball team, which they didn't have Title IX back then. So, you know, having a girls' team was, you know, kind of a big thing. The girls' team didn't play as many games as the boys' team, but he still treated the girls with a lot of respect as well. And that was just a hallmark of his coaching, was that he treated everyone with equal respect.
Yeah.
That he knew how to balance both being a perfectionist and demanding a lot with being supportive. And he might kind of dress somebody down at the field, but then later he'd put their arm around them and say, you know, tomorrow is going to be another day. And really knew how to balance that. So,
but he did have a quote where he said, show me a good loser and I'll show you a loser. He did not like losing at all.
Well, he's so well known for these motivational speeches, you kind of wonder if he was giving those to the girls' team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yes. I mean, but he was also a really hard worker. He would go to Madison Square Garden to watch the basketball games that were there and to learn from them how to coach. And he would go and watch like college football games and pick up a lot of tips on what to do and bring them back to St. Cecilia. In 1942, he became the head coach. The man he was working with went back to Fordham. He became the head coach at St. Cecilia's. And the next year, St. Cecilia's was ranked the number one high school football team in the nation.
Now this became a theme. He would take over a struggling team.
Largely because they beat a team called Brooklyn Prep, which had this guy on their team. Maybe you've heard of him, the senior called Joe Paterno.
I've heard of that guy.
So he spent 8 years total, 5 years as head coach at St. Cecilia's before he left, returning briefly to Fordham, spending some time at West Point as an assistant coach there.
He broke in the NFL coaching ranks with the New York Giants as the offensive coordinator. And on that same team, the defensive coordinator was another guy you might have heard of, Tom Landry.
Yep.
Wow.
So you had Lombardi heading. The head coach quipped, I can't remember his name. That's how unimportant he was, really. He quipped, "My job here is just to keep the air in the footballs."
Yep.
So the Giants all of a sudden were good. And then he was hired by the Green Bay Packers, who had gone 1-15 the year before.
Right.
And they went 7-5 his first year.
So he had tried to get some head coaching jobs while he was with the Giants and wasn't really getting anything. And thought largely that it had to do with anti-Italian prejudice. Mm. So this was a time when we get into like a lot of details, but there was a lot of distrust and dislike of Italians, and they faced a lot of prejudice at this point. And so that was also something that was significant for him in his life, his faith and the prejudice that he had faced in really building cultures of respect and everyone is treated equally.
One of the hallmarks of that, he had black players on his team. Mm-hmm. If a black player was denied service at a restaurant, he forbade everyone else on the team from going to that restaurant or whatever, whatever organization.
Yeah. That's right. The Green Bay Packers were the first team to fully integrate. They only stayed at hotels that allowed all of the players to stay there. It was fully integrated team. It was unheard of at that point.
Yeah.
So he was really a front runner, not only in like imaginative plays and bringing dedication and hard work to the team, but also in making sure that everybody was treated as an equal. He was a daily mass attendant at St. Willibrord in Green Bay. He derived his strength from Holy Communion.
Yeah.
The faith was a very integral part of who he was and what he was doing. So, I mean, of course, he was, you know, a perfectionist and not really super easy to live with. You know, there were some family problems because of his temperament.
Well, but coaches just always have a difficult time because the time when they're working is the time when other families are relaxing.
Right. So. He left the Packers after 7 years, I think.
Yeah.
And for a couple of years, wasn't involved with the team exactly. And then in 1969, he became the head coach of the Washington Redskins. Ironically, I think the Washington Redskins were the last team to fully integrate.
Oh, wow.
So he became the head coach there, turning them around again, having another winning season. They went 7-5 that year. Vince Lombardi never had a losing season as a head coach. It's just amazing. Very beginning of his second season, they discovered that he had colon cancer.
From the diagnosis of the terminal cancer to his death was only about 6 weeks.
It was very short.
Oh, my.
He died September 3rd, 1970. The priest who had been his athletic director at St. Cecilia's anointed him. He told him, "I'm not afraid to die, but I still have so much work to do."
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you were saying, Tom, before we started the segment about how some of the things that he said about football could really correlate, I think, in our spiritual life as well.
Yeah. So he says, football is like life. It requires perseverance, self-denial, hard work, sacrifice, dedication, and respect for authority. Don't succumb to excuses. Go back to the job of making the corrections and forming the habits that would make your goal possible. That's virtue, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he also, you know, told his players, after all the cheers have died down and the stadium is empty, after the headlines have been written and after you are back in the quiet of your room and the championship ring has been placed on the dresser, and after all the pomp and fanfare have faded, the enduring thing that is left is the dedication to doing with our lives the very best we can to make the world a better place in which to live.
Yeah.
Very, very inspirational. He didn't mention even like he would bring his players to Mass as well. I mean, he went to Mass, but he would bring his players to Mass before games also. Yeah. So, you know, he was very, very dedicated to his faith, even if it was not always perfectly lived out.
Yes.
Yeah. People want to learn more about what you do. I'm sure you probably go into more in depth when you talk about Vince Lombardi at your website. Where can they find that?
We're at AmericanCatholicHistory.org.